the privilege of being in God's family. Based on verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we see him as he is. The epistles of John contain a beautiful picture of the Christian standing and the Christian's walk before the Lord. And the key to these epistles, I believe, is found in 1 John 5 and the verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. The knowledge of being in God's family and walking before our Heavenly Father as his children should thrill our souls, should bring a joy to our heart, and praise to God for his marvelous grace in our lives. Behold the love of the Father. Amazing love to lost sinners. And the first verse we read, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Those that are loved by the Father, who were sinners, now become those beloved by the Father through adoption to sonship by the new birth experience. And in the chapter 4 and in the verse 10 we read these words, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Thank God that God loved us. We could never have loved God. There is nothing in our makeup as a human being, born into this world in sin, that would ever love God. And this is why when we look around us today and we see our relations, our loved ones, our friends, those that we work with, those that we rub shoulders with day by day, and they seem to have no interest in the things of God. They have no interest in their own soul salvation. And the reason is that the Bible tells us that they are dead in trespasses and in sin. And that is exactly the position that you and I that are saved tonight were in. We had no more interest than the world outside this church building tonight, until God touched our heart, until God opened our heart, until God's Holy Spirit came and wrought a work in our hearts that made us willing to come to Christ. Why? Because God loved us before the foundation of the world, and God chose to save us before the foundation of the world, and God in time sent his Son into this world so that we would be saved through the sacrifice that Christ made upon the cross of Calvary. I want us to look at this text tonight. Three very simple thoughts. First of all, our present position. The text starts off with the word now. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And this leads us to the fact that we were not always so. Once we were poor, lost, sinful creatures bound for eternity without God. And in 1 John 3 and 1, the text that we read at the beginning, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. In his sovereign grace, he brought us into the family, calling us his sons. Not merely we are, but now are we. What a statement. What assurance. What confidence that you and I tonight, sitting in this church prayer meeting, that we can have that confidence, that we can say, tonight, at this moment in time, I am a son of God. And you know, there is very few out in that world today that can say that. Oh, there is plenty in the world tonight that is full of religion. They have a hope. Somehow or other in their mind, they believe that someday God is going to look favorably upon them. And when they die, they'll go to the judgment. And if God looks favorably upon them, they may then get into God's heaven. But oh, tonight, brothers and sisters in the Lord, this verse of Scripture teaches us plainly that tonight, sitting in our seats in this prayer meeting, that we are the sons of God. And verse 1 tells us, therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. What a striking identification we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. The world didn't understand Christ. Nor does it understand you and I as God's children, as sons of God. Man can never truly comprehend Christ. However he may pretend to, and there is a great pretense in the world today, but man cannot comprehend Christ in the flesh. It is not until he is in Christ that he begins to understand something of what it means that Christ came to die for sinners upon the cross of Calvary. We have the nature of sons by regeneration. We have the title, we have the spirit, and we have the right to the inheritance of sons by adoption. And this honor has all the children of God. One of the great commentators, John Gill, said of our being sons of God, he said, by adoption, secretly in God's predestination and in the covenant of grace. That's what God did for us in the past. He adopted us in his predestination into the covenant of grace. And openly, in regeneration through faith in Christ and by the testimony of the Spirit of God. And what a tremendous privilege it is for you and I tonight, God's children, a right and privilege to all that is available to the child of God. You know, sometimes we don't really praise God enough for what we have in Christ Jesus. And you know, I believe that a lot of God's children today are living mediocre Christian lives. They are living with one day up and another day down, one day on the mountaintop and the next day down in the pits of depression. Some are even plagued with the lack of assurance of salvation. And days they think they're saved, and other days they're not so sure whether they're saved or not. And they begin to wonder, have I done enough the day to keep me saved? Or have I really lived the Christian life good enough? Or the day I asked God to save me, was I really in earnest? And all the while, the devil plagues the Christian with the lack of assurance of salvation. But oh, tonight, friend, whenever you ask God to save you, it was God did the work. And it is God that keeps you. And it's God that made you a son and brought you into his family. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And we tonight can rest on the word of God, not looking into ourselves, because when we look into ourselves, we will never see that which is good. Of course, there's a few space cadets about, and they think that they are perfect, and they think that everything's rosy in the garden, and they don't have a clue about life. But if you're normal, and you're a normal human being living in a real world, if you look into your own heart, you will begin to be depressed, and you will begin to see things there that shouldn't be there. But oh, tonight, brothers and sisters in the Lord, do not look in, but look up and look to Christ, because it is Him that has done everything for us. It is Him that purchased our salvation on the cross of Calvary. It is Christ who died for our sins past, died for our sins present, and died for our sins future. And through that wonderful justification of God, when we were made perfect in God's sight, justified fully before God, that we became adopted into God's family, chosen by Him to be His children. What a position that we have today. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And verse 3, and every man that hath this hope in him. We are in Christ, this hope in Christ. And in the verse 5 it tells us, and ye know that He was manifest to take away our sins, and in Him, that's in Christ, is no sin. And then in verse 6, whosoever abideth in Him. Abiding in Christ. What a tremendous thing it is to be a child of God. Our present position. But then there's our potential that is hidden. It says, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Now, we as Christians are not what we ought to be. We're not what we're going to be. But thank God we are not what we used to be. Because before that we were saved, we were out of Christ. But thank God we are in Christ. And we are looking forward to that day that lies ahead. Great potential lies ahead for all the children of God. What we have now is tremendous, yet what lies up ahead is thrilling. Yet the future glory is hid to a large extent from us. For we could never, as human beings, understand the glories of eternity with Christ. In 1 Corinthians 13 and 12 we read, for now we see through a glass darkly, and then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. God's children must live in the present by faith. We cannot see the future. We do not know what is going to happen in the future. We cannot see what tomorrow is going to bring to us. We cannot see what next week is going to bring to us. We cannot see what the future holds for us. But thank God we know who holds the future. We cannot know, only from what we read, what the glories of the future is going to be. And we'll be looking at that a little later. But in Romans 1 and 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now God has ordained that His children live in this world that is hostile to them, as it was hostile to Jesus, in total dependence on their Heavenly Father for all their needs materially and spiritually. You see, God could have saved us and taken us straight to heaven. But God chose that we should live out our years that He has given to us upon this earth. Now, knowing that as a Christian, we would be living in a world that was hostile. Now, when the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, was on earth, there was hostility towards Him. And the hostility came in the beginning, and it came mainly through His own people. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. They rejected the Messiah. They should have known that here was the Messiah that was promised. And yet, they were hostile towards Him. So much so that everywhere He went, the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, sought to destroy Him. And yet, God allowed the Lord Jesus Christ 3 years of ministry upon this earth. where they lived and worked and preached and taught his disciples. And then God allowed those Roman soldiers to take the Lord Jesus Christ to the cross of Calvary. He poured out his wrath for sin upon Christ upon the middle cross. And thank God, the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary so that we might be children of the Lord. And 1 Corinthians 15 and the verse 10, but by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which is bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Paul knew the power of God in his life day by day, and he praised God for grace, abundant grace. And Luke 11:13, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? God has provided the power to live for Christ in this present world. You and I, as the children of the Lord, living in a hostile world, have the power available to us today to be able to overcome in this world. In Acts 1:18, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. God gave his disciples and gave power to live for Christ in this world. You see, you and I in our own strength would fail miserably. You and I, when we depend on ourselves and our own ability, will fail in every aspect of our Christian life. The Lord Jesus Christ said, without me, ye can do nothing. But thank God, the potential in our life is there to be able to live for Christ. Now, God always looks after his family members. Even though sometimes his will runs contrary to our will, and we think God has forgotten us, or even loves us no longer. And when God chastens us, it is always for our good and for his glory. The book of Revelation 3:19 tells us, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. All we will be is yet hid from us. But let us ever look forward to that day when all will be revealed and we see Jesus face to face. Now, in the time in between us leaving this scene of time and this moment that we're in, then we have to live according to the scriptures. In verse 3, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Now, the potential for each of us as children of the Lord is that we can live a godly life for the glory of God. Sometimes we find that, or we hear Christians and they'll tell you that, well, you know, the day I was saved, I took Christ as my Savior, and then someday I'll make him Lord. Well, you know, that is nonsense. When we take Christ as our Savior, we take him as Lord of all, or we don't take him at all. It is not divided up that you can suddenly take Christ as your Savior and then live whatever way you and I want to live for a period of time, and then we make Christ Lord when it suits us. You know, that's nonsense if we start to think about it. It is not scripturally based, but whenever we accept Christ, we accept him as Lord of our life and we begin to live for him. We must ever be Christ-like in our dealings with our family, with our friends, and with our workmates. In Psalm 24 and the verse 3 it says, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Oh, the psalmist made it very clear. Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. If we live for Christ, then we will know the blessing of God and the joy of the Lord day by day. And God will use us in the bringing in of the lost to Christ for salvation. God will use us as a comfort and as a help to fellow believers when they're in trouble. The way we live will either put people off Christianity or will draw people to Christ. And you know what I mean when I say that. Either by our testimony, and I don't mean standing on a pulpit giving our testimony. That is very simple. Now some of you might feel that that is a big ordeal if you have to do it. But it is simple to stand and with the mouth give testimony. But it is a totally different thing to have a testimony in the home in which we live. It is a totally different thing to have a testimony in the workplace in which we live. And our business dealings and our relationship and every aspect of our lives. The Bible tells us that we must show forth the beauty of Christ and show forth the standards of Christ and live a Christ-like life. Every situation that you and I find ourselves in, we've got to ask ourselves, what would Christ do in this situation? And you know, when we apply that, then we may take a totally different attitude. I was talking to the young people in our own church on Friday night. We were talking about putting Christ first in your life. And one of the ways is by our actions, by our words. Now, if you go into a shop or somewhere and you are due £3 change, and you find that the girl at the till has given you an extra fiver, she has made a mistake and thought that she gave you five. If you give her five instead of, you've given her £10. What do you do with the extra fiver? Do you go out the door and think, that's great, I have an extra fiver to spend? Or do you do what Christ would have done? He would have taken it and given it back and said, look dear, you have made a mistake. You have given it back. That tests our Christianity. But you know, some people would say, oh, if them is that stupid to make a mistake, well, so be it, I make the benefit. But that's not what Christ would do. What does Christ do in the situation that you and I find ourselves in every day? We need to say, Lord, what would you do? I'm faced with this problem. What would you do, Lord, if you were here? And always remember that the Lord knows our situation better than we know it ourselves. Because he sees down from heaven into your heart and my heart. Oh, we can bluff the session of a church and the minister of a church. We can bluff our wife or our family. We can bluff our workmates. But we can't bluff God, because God sees the very motives of our heart. And he knows what actions that we take and the very thoughts that we make. The way that we live will put people off Christianity, or it'll draw people to Christ. Oh, let us dedicate ourselves today afresh and seek to be ever like Christ day by day. In 1 John 2 in the verse 15, the previous chapter, it tells us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Oh, what potential there is for you and I if we live godly lives before the Lord. You'd remember Naomi. And she took her family, her husband and her, took their family away from God's people, away from the land that God had given them, down into a strange land. And the consequences were that she lost her husband and she lost her sons. But the beauty was that when she came back again and renewed that relationship with the people of God, Ruth, her daughter-in-law, was brought to a knowledge of Christ. And you know, you and I are privileged. Now, God doesn't need us to save people. God never needed anyone to save. But God chose to use you and I. And you know, that is a tremendous privilege. That God chose us as His sons. Sons of God and His family. That by our life, that by our prayers, that by our witness, that by the foolishness of preaching of the Word of God, that He would save precious souls. And the potential that you and I have is that in the days ahead, if we go through with God, our vows to pay are all upon God's altar laid, then God has a tremendous work for you and I to do. Because He will not only bless us, but He will bless our family. And then finally, there is our perfection anticipated. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. What glory is held in store for the Christian at the return of the Lord Jesus? We shall be like Him. In 1 Corinthians 15 and 49, and as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. And in Philippians 3:21, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working wherein He is able, even to subdue all things unto Him. For we shall see Him as He is, in our new resurrected body. Job could say in Job 19 and 26, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Oh, what a tremendous thing it is that there's a day coming that you and I are going to have perfect bodies, like unto the body of Christ. Satisfaction is guaranteed. In Psalm 17 in the verse 15, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Down in this world in which we live, we will never be satisfied. The flesh will never allow us to be satisfied. There will always be the battle. There will always be the warring with Satan. There will always be the flesh and the spirit at war. But thank God, on that day, whenever the Lord Jesus Christ comes again, on the resurrection morning, we will be satisfied. I shall be satisfied, the psalmist said, when I awake with thy likeness. And you know what tremendous privilege it is that we have tonight, that we can look forward to that day when our body will be perfect, when we will be perfect in the presence of the Lord forever. Let us ever rejoice as long as God has ordained for us to stay in this life. And when we depart to eternity, it is far beyond our finite mind to fully comprehend our heavenly home. In Revelation 21 and verse 4 it says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Oh, what a tremendous thing we have to look forward to. What a tremendous day. Our perfection anticipated. But oh, my dear friend, tonight, our present position is tremendous. We look forward to perfection, but down here we're the sons of God. We are privileged beyond all in the world today. And our potential that we have down here to do a work for God is something tremendous. Oh, let us in these days rejoice in the standing that we have in Christ. Let us look to Christ, praise Christ. You know, most people that doubt their salvation is because they never thank God for saving them. They never praise God for saving them. They never get to that stage where they are willing to turn to God and say, I praise you. I worship you. I adore you. I thank you for sending your Son to be my Savior. I thank you that I'm saved. And you know, when we praise God from the depths of our heart, we receive that joy of the Lord that He gives to us day by day. Let us in these days always rejoice in what our standing is before God. Let us always seek that potential that we have down here to serve God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. And let us look forward with anticipation to that day whenever we will leave this scene and go into the very presence of the Lord forever. Oh, death to the child of God is just a stepping into the presence of Christ to be there forever and forever and forever. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts this evening.